So last week Ron talked to us about the Proverbs, and today I'm going to talk about the Psalms. Now if ever anyone asks me, where do they start? When they come to read the Bible, I usually suggest that they read the Gospels first, because they're nice to read, the message is absolutely lovely, and they're not terribly long. But what do we do after we've read the Gospels? We read them again. Yep. And then I suggest we dip into the Psalms. Just pick some. There's 5 books of Psalms, sub-books. They're all completely different. Some are about grinding bones and gnashing teeth. Some are really beautiful. Poetry. Just dip wherever you fancy, read some. I've often said to you on a Thursday, haven't I? You know, let's start with a psalm, and when you go home, read another one. There's such a wealth of lovely reading in them. And as people have found over the centuries, they're just a source of wonder and inspiration to everyone. They tell us that the Psalms are the most read and most quoted book of the Bible. Psalms or songs give expression to every single human emotion. They were originally written, we believe, to be sung, and they have lovely sayings when we sing them. But even though the music isn't there in our Bible, just the words, these timeless words still bring hope of healing. Your spirit will be renewed and your heart will be uplifted when you read them. And when you realize the relevance of these inspirational reminders of God's steadfast presence within us. Now I know you all know that that is based on the 23rd Psalm, which I shall read for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What beautiful words. But looking at the whole book of the Psalms is rather difficult. There are 150 of them. It's almost like trying to understand and explain 150 different short books. So as I said to Katie earlier, what I think we'll do is we'll start reading at number one and we'll go through to the end, but we'll do that a bit later. A lot of the Psalms have an apparent authorship within them. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd tells us it's a Psalm of David. The oldest Psalm, Psalm 90, is thought to have been written by Moses. David was responsible for many. Apparently he wrote 73 of them. Asaph wrote 12. The descendants of Korah penned 10. Solomon wrote 1 or 2. And Ethan and Heman, the Yezrahites, were responsible for about 2 others. The remainder of them don't actually contain any information about who wrote them at all. And it used to be that when an author wasn't known, it would be ascribed to the previous psalm whose author was known. So the Psalms, as we know them, they've been at the centre of our faith. and piety for centuries, and they can still claim that place today. As we said earlier, they are the most quoted and most read book. They tell us authoritatively about God. They tell us about his creation. They tell us about humanity. They tell us all about the life of faith. And as we say, they are originally composed for singing, for worship, for praise, and for prayer. As a collection of lyrical poems, it's one of the only two Old Testament books that actually identifies itself as having more than one author. The other book is Proverbs, which Ron told us about last week. The book was originally titled Tehillim, which I'm told means praise songs in Hebrew. The English title of Psalms originated from the Septuagint's Greek title Psalmoi, also meaning songs of praise. In such a collection of hymns, 150 different authors, it's inevitable that they would have been written over an extended period of time. And from the earliest Psalm 90 to some of the post-exilic psalms, for example, 126, we're talking about from something like 1400 to 400 BC, 1,000 years plus. Many of them contain musical instructions. One of the common words, selah, a Hebrew word, is found 71 times. And it's most likely to be a musical notation added by worship leaders after they incorporated them into public worship. The term maskil occurs 13 times, but nobody actually knows what it means. Occasionally a psalm appears with instructions for the song leader. For example, we see instructions such as for the director of music, to the tune of lilies, to the tune of the dough of the morning. Another one is to the tune of do not destroy. These and others can refer to melodies used with a given psalm or perhaps as suggestions for their use. The book of Psalms is filled with the songs and prayers offered to God by the nation of Israel. They're expressions of praise, faith, sorrow, and frustration cover the range of all human emotions, from sadness to delight. Some of them dwell on the treasure of wisdom and God's word. Others reveal the troubled heart of the mourners. Still others explode with praise. They invite others to join in. They invite everyone to sing. The great diversity of the Psalms is unified in one element. They are all focused on God. This Creator God, our King, our Lord, he's the King of all the earth and a refuge for everyone who will trust in him. So if you have any doubts, read the Bible, read the Psalms, trust in God. Many of them attributed to King David, as I said earlier. And the writing and collection of the Psalms, all 150, into the form we have at present, spans centuries. They're organized into five books or collections. Book one goes from Psalm 1 to 41. Book two is 42 to 72. Book three is 73 to 89. Book four is 90 to 106. And book five takes us up to 150. They were probably collected gradually over this time, as mainly as corporate worship developed within the temple. It is likely that by the time of Ezra, the book of Psalms, they were all organized much as we have them now. Each section, each sub-book, concludes with a doxology, which is a simple, short prayer extolling our God. And at the end, Psalm 150 itself is completely one doxology. It's beautiful. Chuck Swindoll, who many of you will have heard about, puts it actually beautifully when he says, "The Book of Psalms expresses worship. Throughout its many pages, Psalms encourages its readers to praise God for who he is and what he has done. The Psalms illuminate the greatness of our God. They affirm his faithfulness to us in times of trouble and remind us of the absolute centrality of his word. As the Psalms present a clear picture of God lovingly guiding his people, the responses of praise and worship to God are never far from the psalmist's pens. The portrayal of worship in the Psalms offers us glimpse after glimpse of hearts devoted to God, individuals repentant before him, and lives changed through encounters with him." So with such a wide range of emotions and subjects in the Psalms, where do we go from here? Well, they always say the best place to start is at the beginning. So I thought we'd start with Psalm 1. As I said earlier, I don't know how much time we've got. Psalm 1 has got a title on it in some versions called The Way of the Righteous and the Wicked. It's fairly short. It reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." That's rather one of the lighter psalms. I think that's lovely. And as I said earlier, Psalm 150, the last of the psalms, is a doxology, which is really lovely. So Psalm 150 reads, it's loosely titled, "Let Everything Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That always comes to mind in the summertime when at dawn you hear all the birds singing the dawn chorus. Absolutely wonderful sound. And I think, yeah. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The birds are doing it. They know. So when you've read Psalm 1 and Psalm 150, I guess you should thank God for allowing you to express your deepest sympathy and emotions to him. And what if you're hurting? Hurt gets us all at some time. So, Psalm 13 is there for you to read. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. You could take Psalm 13 that I've just read as your own. You could use it to develop your own lamentation. But the other side of how long, O Lord, will you forget me? We have joy. Joy comes with the morning. So if you're rejoicing, if you're in a joyful mood, Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favour is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favour, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of my faithfulness? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks to you forever. So I did sort of overstate earlier when I said we'd read all 150. But I think that's quite a good selection. You can see that whatever your circumstances, whatever your upsets, whatever your joy, whatever your happiness, whatever your sadness, the Psalms will contain a corresponding word or feeling that would help you share your heart with the Lord. So as I said at the beginning, read them all, read them again, and enjoy them. They are there for savoring, for loving.